getting into some of the pitching mechanics. We're going to start off here talking about where we're going to be in the windup. This will be a short, brief thing, and the rest of the time we'll be talking about it from the stretch, just to break it down and be a little simpler. In the windup, obviously, nobody on or no opportunity for a base runner to advance, or little. Important thing here is just that you're basically balanced and comfortable where you are. You're not going to be falling off. You're not too extreme one way or another, or unorthodox one way or another, that you can't keep yourself balanced. So here Carson is very balanced. He's calm. He's comfortable. He's relaxed. Nobody made him stand that way. It's his own way. He feels good with it. So we're fine with that. Working from here, there's two things that are going to throw a pitcher off with throwing strikes or getting in later to develop arm injuries. That's his head, and that's his glove. His glove side and his head. We'll start with talking about the head, and that starts right off the get-go from when he starts his windup. As he starts his windup, go ahead, his head needs to try to stay as still as possible. We want the head to either stay still or only move towards home plate. And I mean directly towards home plate, directly towards, more specifically, your target at home plate. So here his step back stays small, but at the same time his head stays still. Doesn't move left or right, forward or backwards, very much at all. We'll get into why here in a few minutes. As he continues his windup, his head stays still, or again, just moving directly towards home plate. So go ahead and continue on. And he'll reach a balanced point, again, where his body will start the drift towards home plate, or the lean, or the fall towards home plate. And that's his momentum, okay? Notice his head again, just directly went towards home plate. That's what we're looking for there. Go ahead and start over again. Same thing can be done out of the stretch. Go ahead and hit the stretch for me. Wind up just adds a couple little steps to the stretch. Go ahead and show the wind up again real quick. The part from here, getting through to there, is all that's added to a stretch, or to a windup from a stretch. So we'll work from the stretch to kind of break things down and keep it easy. And from there, we can basically work off everything. So again, out of the windup, try to keep your head from moving too much left, right, or backwards. We want to keep our momentum working towards the plate and towards our target. So if you're falling off left or rocking back right, we have momentum shifts. I'm going to start again and demonstrate that for me real quick on the momentum shift. If a pitcher rocks back too far off to the side, he has a big momentum shift off or away from his target. Now he has to redirect that, try to get it back on course. The only way to get back there is to have another momentum shift. Again, wrong way, our plate's that way. So now try to stabilize himself and create balance. That gets pretty difficult. Again, you saw a little hop there. He had a little issues with that, even breaking it down slowly. You see a lot of pitchers with a big step off. Well, they're throwing a lot of momentum away from where they're going towards the plate. Now they're having to recreate it back another direction, again, away from the plate, all in order to try to get it back on track towards the plate. See how that can become an issue, throwing it off left or right and then trying to get it back going forward, about staying on track or on accuracy through your pitch? Just makes it harder. There's no real trick to throwing exactly where you want to make the pitch go. Just repetitive development in your arm, and you'll build accuracy. There are some things that can take you away or help you stay on track that you can do, and this is one of them. Just keep your head aligned and work on your momentum and not have so much of humongous shifts moving off left, right, or backwards, but you have to try to get back on track working towards the plate before you even started delivering. That's the problem we find a lot. So go ahead and work back towards the stretch. Go ahead and come up, come set, and get ready to create his delivery. You'll stop at separation. So again here, you saw him break. You didn't have any wasted motion rocking back or rocking too much. You can turn and create hip pivot. That doesn't throw you away from your plate. As long as the head stays on track, your body will follow your head. He kept it simple, delivered completely straight and towards the plate. Head again delivered there. Where we're at here is what's called separation, where a pitcher gets to on his landing point. His arms become separated, his foot is down, his hands become broken. This point here is called equal and opposite, where he's at now. His front side, and this is where we'll get into talking about his glove. His front side is exactly equal to his back side, but just opposite. You'll find that a lot on tightrope walkers walking on or on a balance beam. They'll try to keep their arms equal but opposite of where they're walking or how they're walking, staying in line so they don't fall off left or right. And that's the same thing we're trying to get to here. When we land, everything's about to come at this point. This is all the calm before the storm, before the arm whips through the zone. This needs to be calm and balanced and stable so you can properly deliver the pitch to the plate. Separation, like I said again, it's equal yet opposite of what it is. This one's just slightly up because this arm's just slightly down. If he was a pitcher that brought his arm up high, the arm would angle back down. If he was a pitcher that brought his arm down behind his back or turned it over, you'd see the same thing turn over here and just create an equal and opposite motion. And that's all he's trying to do is create that balance when he lands here. We went over a little bit about how our head works towards the plate, and we'll continue on that here for a moment. We're gonna start bringing the glove side into it as well. So Carson will go ahead and come set and start his delivery and get to separation again. We'll go from there. Glove side is how it came important. Again, head delivers towards the plate. From here, as we start pushing off our backside and pulling off our front side to work towards the plate and our arm comes through the zone, our glove separation, where we get to this point in separation, this balance, our glove side stays firm. It doesn't move forward. It doesn't move backwards. It stays at this point in space. If I put my body in front of it here, he can continue delivering and I wouldn't affect his glove. As he continues, his glove may rotate or turn and come into to stay in a better position on his body, but it's not gonna, again, push forward, fall off left, or push right. And I'll get into in a minute why we don't want that. So go ahead and continue. As you'll see, his body falls towards his glove, and his glove stays within what we call our box of our body, our frame, our shoulders down to our hips. It'll stay within here. Why we don't want it to fall out here comes out in our point of separation. We'll get into that right now. So go ahead and come back, start from your point and go all the way to separation. So we deliver, we're here at separation. Now at separation, if this glove starts pulling down, you'll start seeing this throwing side start coming around. That can create a lot of issues. Here, he's adding a lot of stress inside his shoulder, inside inner elbow. He's also pulling his body across the direction of the plate versus through it. Again, you'll be throwing on a right-handed side, right-handed batter's box high, left-handed batter's box low plane. And we're wanting to work through the zone instead of across of it. So we want to keep our glove here, let our body fall to it. Again, common myth here is that the glove is pulled hard towards the chest as you approach the plate. That'll do the same effect. If you pull it, it's the same thing as letting your glove fly open. Your shoulder prematurely opens, and your right arm flies and is left out isolated by itself, and you'll be thrown across the plane as well. So go ahead and continue, start again back at separation, go back to separation. And you'll see again, as he continues and pushes through, his body will fall towards his glove as he's getting ready to deliver the ball. Okay, back to separation again. And here's a really good thing to keep in mind. This side shouldn't be messed with because of this side, or should only be messed with because of this side. This side is natural. It's gonna stay there. Where he gets to is something that you don't wanna mess with. A person's arm angle or arm slot is known as, it is a natural throwing motion. People throw naturally. It's something that you're capable of doing. If it's thought out too much or shown or pushed or somebody's being altered to be throwing at a certain throwing angle, it could be detrimental to a pitcher. A good idea to do is just have somebody pick up a ball, turn around and throw it without thinking much. Where they just picked up that ball and turned around and threw it is pretty much their natural arm angle. Altering that too much can greatly affect their muscular buildup and create arm injuries. So I kind of wanted to make that point on that. Don't try to mess with especially a young pitcher's arm angle. Where that is, where their comfort zone is, leave that be. This is the side we're gonna worry about right here. You'll notice that I didn't want to talk about, well, his arm stays back here and it really should be over here, or it doesn't matter. Where he's comfortable is where he's comfortable. What I want to worry about is keeping this equal to that, yet opposite of that. So, like I said, if his arm is down, it should be up. If his arm is up, it should be down. Next thing I'd like to talk about is kind of a position to land in after you've made your pitch. and the importance of landing in this position and getting in a good fielding position. So Russell, go ahead and deliver all the way through and land in a good fielding position. See here how he's in a balanced point. Again, we're working on balance and staying balanced throughout our pitching. He's here in a frame where he can feel the ground ball have come back to him, an easy chopper, he can charge a bunt, he can be bounding off the mound and still be an athletic. He's in the same position that you'd see a shortstop or a second baseman or a third baseman or any infielder be in. He's ready to field a ball. Okay, basic warm-ups, we like to start on our knees, start throwing from our knees. You can have yourself slightly off to a throwing side angle, meaning if you're right-handed, you may want to slightly close towards your right side. If you're left-handed, you want to slightly close towards your left side. It depends on your throwing angle too, which we can get into later on at another point. From this point, we're just trying to gain a little extension and isolate our upper body here for throwing. I'll go ahead and get a full throwing motion to an extent. Here, for demonstrating purposes, he's pretty close. So I'll break, I'll follow through. One thing to keep in mind is don't feel like you have to stop yourself from falling forward or stopping your body momentum. Go ahead and let your body travel forward and just put your hands down to stop yourself. We'll get into some of the mechanics side of it earlier, but you will be trying to utilize your pitching mechanics in this warm-up drill as well. You're just isolating your upper half and it makes it simpler for you. So as you'll see, I like to break things down into smaller pieces and then put them back together later on. For the sake of just warming up, start on knees, break, throw, fall forward, let yourself drop. That simple. Okay, next we'll be stepping up to our feet. Not much different than what we were doing on our knees, just bringing the legs into the equation. All we're doing here is just working our feet to step behind, step through, and deliver. Repeat that. You want to stay at a fairly close distance, close enough that you can keep the ball low and straight. We don't want to start creating an arch to our throws. We want to keep the ball down and be working more accuracy. So as long as you can go, still keeping the ball in a flat plane and staying low and accurate, that'll work. Work your feet in the equation. They have to warm up just as much as your arm does. Simple thing to think of. Step behind, step up, deliver. That's it. This is a fastball. It's actually a four-seam fastball. All we're doing here is putting our hands across the horseshoe. Here's the ear. Across the horseshoe. Anywhere you feel comfortable on is fine. But basically what we're doing is when we throw the pitch, we want four seams cutting through the air. And it's just a straight fastball. It's a power fastball. You can throw it the hardest. And again, it's pretty much the straightest. Or sometimes it can give the illusion when it's thrown hard enough that it's actually rising. It's not. It just creates that illusion because the ball is staying up flatter longer. So that's a four-seam fastball, just thrown across the four seams. Next one's a two-seam. Throw it across the two seams here. Again, it's throwing your index finger and middle finger. All it is thrown across the top. It can be thrown across the horseshoe, anywhere on the ball, as long as you're running two seams through the air. That's all we're looking for. Some guys like to offset it, and that runs like a single. That creates a little more movement too. It's still technically a two-seam fastball, even though you're not really getting two seams anymore through the air. But it's a moving fastball, a running fastball, and that's a two-seam fastball. It's still a power pitch. Throw it hard just like you would any other fastball. So next thing we have is a curveball. My curveball, I come across this part of the horseshoe. I do that for my personal preference. Again, you can pick this part. It depends where you feel the rest of the ball feels most comfortable in your hand. Anywhere along the four seams will work, although I have seen some pitchers throw it across the top of the horseshoe and still create four seam action down. All they're trying to do is create four seams, breaking through the zone and breaking through the air. And depending on their arm angle, they're going to alter where they grip the ball or how far around. I'm about a three-quarter, sub-three-quarter pitcher, so I come pretty far down here. You get more over the top of the ball, you come way out here. It doesn't matter. It's just comfort. Like I said, Carson here throws the ball on this end of it. I throw up on this end of it. Not much difference, just one little shift. The slider, again, is not much different from that. I really throw it from the same exact spot. I just throw it like a fastball rather than let my elbow break like a curveball. And that's really the same thing with the slider. Carson throws his slider through the same grip. And again, you just want to create four seams cutting across or cutting through the air. And this is a pitch I want the ball cutting across the zone with. So I'll be pushing it through like a fastball. And that's how the slider works for me. The changeup grip, again, this is a straight changeup. You'll see. All I do is I tuck it as deep as I can in my hand. And I try to throw it across the middle of my fingers here, where I almost palm the ball. And you'll see that there. All I'm doing, sucking it in, creating it deep. You can't throw a ball hard with it deep in your palm. Throw your fastball at the end of your fingers. So a changeup is deep. It can be anywhere really with the grip. I like to work it where only two seams cut through the air. I get a little more action and push that way. So I run my middle finger and my ring finger right across the top of the seams here. And that's my changeup. That's a straight change. A circle change, not much different. Here's an open circle or a big circle. You're just tucking it here. It may push a little bit more on your palm. And a tight circle is closing that finger here. Again, pushing a little more on your palm. These two take a lot of work on the side to really gain control over, as it's a little bit different or unnatural throwing from an action like this. But that's a closed circle. Again, you'll be feathering the ball, or a lot of guys will just try to throw them as hard as they can because they can't get much on them versus their fastball. So if you have that change of speed, you're already good to go. It's good to try to find out how much change of speed you're getting so that you know you're creating enough. And that's a circle change. A split finger changeup, just slightly across the shoe here. That's all we're doing, across the split of the ball. Again, working it with two seams. Wouldn't want to throw that with four. It's four seams cuts the ball too straight, especially when I'm throwing in a fastball action. So I'll cut it across two. I'll create a little action on it. It'll create me some movement, and I have less seams biting through the air, and it creates more of a movement when the air hits it. So that's my split finger. A fork ball, again, it's just tucked a little further. If you throw a fork ball, it's a real good idea to preset this pitch every single time you come up, because it's really difficult to work when you have your hand in your glove and you're looking for a fastball, or you're going to throw a fastball, and you now need to switch to a fork and press that pitch up against your glove without the hitter noticing what you're doing there. So unless you can very simply go from a fastball or a curveball straight into a split without pushing it against something, I can't. It's a good idea to preset that pitch before you even get on the rubber, before you even get on the mound. So preset that pitch, look and get your sign, and then when you come set, it's very simple to switch to a curveball versus trying to switch from a curveball to a split. It's easy to switch from a split to a curveball or from a split to a four-seam fastball. Okay, we're going to get into alternative pitches or off-speed pitches. An off-speed pitch is anything other than a four-seam or a two-seam fastball. That includes power sliders, cut fastballs, or anything still thrown with power. Still an off-speed pitch. Still not as hard as a four-seam or a two-seam fastball. So, something to talk about first before we really get into these is age and appropriateness for a pitcher to throw this. We don't really feel that there's a certain age that's right to be throwing an off-speed pitch or a curveball. He's been throwing a curveball ever since minors in Little League, which is, 89 years old. A curveball is actually more biokinetically or biomechanically correct to throw than actually a fastball. And we'll get into that here in a second. So if thrown properly, it's a non-issue. And like I said, we'll get into more details here in just a second. Go ahead and start to your delivery point, and we'll work on those different pitches here. As he's throwing, looks like he's going to start to throw a slider. Yeah, or is this curveball coming off? Almost same. It's going to be the same grip predominantly. We'll get into grips here later as well. But his curveball is coming around. You'll see all he's really doing changing is his wrist is going to be coming in as he starts to deliver. And that's it. At that point, he's going to stay. There's not going to be any rotation or twisting or snapping or breaking down of the wrist. It's going to stay stable. And the only thing that's going to bend here is his elbow. And it bends the direction the elbow was meant to bend. It doesn't split or twist. It just bends forward. And you'll see as he continues on that the elbow will just continue, come around, and drop down straight forward. So go ahead and continue that slowly so they can see how that elbow just continued through. Drop the pitch down. He came across his body. It'd be nothing different than hitting a hammer with a nail. That's kind of a good analogy to use, is coming across and dropping a hammer down on the nail. So think of that with the curveball. Come out, keep your wrist in, drop it down, and there it is. Your elbow can do this all day long. That's the design of your body's makeup. It's not meant to twist or turn across your body. Elbow doesn't bend this way, it bends that way. So throwing a curveball here is just fine and dandy. It's better than actually pushing a fastball here. That's a curveball. Slider, not a whole lot different. Slider's kind of a fastball, just again, the hand turned in. I believe that's the way Carson throws it. So come in, he's throwing a fastball. He's on the outside of the ball, not hand turned in, but the hand's on the outside of the ball more. He's gonna continue through and push the fastball, or what's now a slider, and just continue. You'll see he just kind of pushes through just like you would a fastball, a regular four seam or two seam. Ball comes out around, it's a power slider, comes down across the zone. So that's his slider. We'll get into, again, his grips and things like that as we get going more. Change-ups, he's not really a change-up specialist, but he can go ahead and show you. He's thrown them before. A couple different trains of thought here. This he's throwing is called a straight change. You're basically just taking the ball and tucking it as deep as you can in your hand and maybe more towards the middle of the fingers, middle finger and ring finger, rather than middle finger and index finger. The deeper you get the ball, the harder it is to throw hard. The other difference a pitcher may do at this point, instead of continuing out and pushing the ball forward, they may feather the hand down, let the ball come across, or hand come across the back of the ball, and basically create a cotton ball effect, like you would here, just pulling it down. And that's a change up or a straight change. There's also circle changes. I can show you here. Again, not much different. You get a little more movement on them than a straight change. You're just pushing the ball across your hand a little bit. And that's the difference between a circle change. You can go ahead and demonstrate that real quick for you. Comes through. Again, finger is circled. When we get into grips, you'll see that a little bit more clearly. Hand feathers across the ball. Ball runs. You can create movement. Other pitches pitchers may throw are cut fastballs, where you're creating finger pressure on one end of the seams or another. Not much different. Again, you're still throwing a fastball. Maybe your hand will push across the top of the ball and push the ball down or force it down, or running it away from a right-hander for a right-handed pitcher. It'd be like a middle finger would create pressure on the outside and you'd be pushing the ball away. Again, it's still a fastball. It's just finger pressure and you're throwing through the ball and creating power just like you would a fastball and not trying to take anything off of it. There are split fingers. Pitchers will get through, or a forkball. A split finger is just lesser forkball. It's throwing, it's really a split finger changeup rather than a split finger fastball. And again, just whip through, it's harder to throw it hard. You get the same hand speed that you get with the fastball, giving the trick to the hitter that he's seeing a fastball. In reality, he's just seeing a changeup, or what's called a split finger changeup or a split finger fastball. So that's just the effect. It's just the hand speed can come fast, but the ball is not able to travel as far. A forkball will tuck in a lot deeper and almost have a knuckleball effect. Usually the tumbling action, or a tight tumble towards the end, is what creates a downward tilt on the ball and makes it more of a breaking pitch as well. But again, it's throwing very hard. It tumbles out of the ball, your hand down. It's probably for more for older pitchers, high school to college age, because of the hand size needs to be pretty big to be able to split your fingers across the ball like that. So, and it takes a little work to be able to get your hands to work like this as well. So if you bring those pitches into your repertoire, it's a good idea to get a little understanding of what you're doing and work with them a lot on the side before you start. The big thing I would stress is for you young pitchers, throwing breaking balls, make sure you're coming just staying up with it and just creating your elbow action downwards rather than a twisting action, or throwing the football curveball that's thrown a lot in Little League, where you're twisting across the ball to try to create a spin. Just create whip here, stiff in your wrists and your hands, and let your elbow work. And just straight down, just like you'd be hammering a nail. Create a 12-6, it's called 12-6 because the hand's on the clock. Work 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, the ball rotate 12-6. It's going to be the most downward tilt, most action, the harder to hit pitch. It's the best curveball to throw all the way around. Create a little angle on it. That's just arm angle that pitchers naturally have. So if they throw it across a little bit more, 11-5 or 10-4, that's just their arm angle that's creating that sideways across action. Again, working back a little bit towards arm angle and how pitchers have their natural throwing motion, and we don't want to change that. Carson will get to the point of delivery where the actual arm is at its point of about to releasing the ball. So go ahead and start and work through. Where he likes to throw is what's called high center. It's a regular, more traditional throwing motion. It's not 3/4 or sub 3/4 drop to arm angle. Certain pitchers have different arm angles, and it's important not to try to mess with that. If that's the natural throwing motion, then leave that be. This is a straight over the top, regular, more traditional arm throwing motion that you see, and that's natural for him. But actually, this is somewhat uncommon to be here. He's a little bit high 3/4, but that's about it. But as you'll see, more pitches you start to see, a 3/4 is a very common arm angle. It's very comfortable for a pitcher. Carson got a pretty big shoulders, and this is something you'll see on a lot of guys like this. They throw over the top. He can be a short armer, something like that. We won't want to try to affect that or change that. There's a lot of great pitchers that are short armers that still pitch today are outstanding pitchers. So we won't affect that at all. There's a lot of guys that throw 3/4, sub 3/4, submarine. We don't affect them or want to mess with their throwing motions either. But this is a more conventional pitching motion right here. But you'll see a lot of guys drop down, and they'll be 3/4 or sub 3/4 all the way down to a sidearm, or can be underneath or a submarine. The only thing that is affected by that then is glove side. And so that's, again, something to be focusing on, trying to keep people equal and opposite. If he's a submariner, probably going to see the glove real high and the arm real low. And that's fine. When he's over the top, glove will be more conventionally in the box, and the arm will be up high. So that's something to keep in mind. Certain pitches should all try to be thrown through the same arm angle. If he, again, is conventional, go ahead and continue out to that spot. He will throw everything from his fastball, which he has here, a two-seam grip or a four-seam grip now, to his curveball, rotate over. He'll throw them all in the same arm slot. That hasn't changed at all. You throw a straight change as well, yeah. He throws a change, and what else? And a slider. And it all has stayed within that same arm slot. It hasn't changed, just his grip. His finish, slight alterations between them as he continues through here, but his arm angle won't change the entire time. We're going to work on a drill here. It's called towel drill, and there's many different formats of it, and we're going to try to work over a couple of them right here. The first thing you want to do in a towel drill is find your distance, and what we're going to be doing is utilizing the towel as our ball. So first thing we kind of want to talk about is how to put it in your hand. Go ahead and show them how you're going to do that. With this size towel, it's only about 1.5 feet. You just tuck it in between your fingers that you naturally throw through your right and left, your index finger and your middle finger. Take the excess of the ball or the towel, and you can wrap it in your hand, ball it up in your hand. So there's your towel, and it kind of simulates the drag of a baseball. Okay, first thing we're going to do is try to step off our distance, and how we're going to do that, we'll demonstrate right here. Carson's first just going to whip out, take one whip out here with his towel and throw it out there. And then at this point, where his right foot is landed, we want to step off 5 steps. His left foot has landed. This is the first one. Here comes his second, his third, his fourth, and his fifth. So putting a baseball down here kind of marks where he's at. That's kind of important, because what we're going to be going over with this towel drill here is perceived speed versus real speed or actual speed. That means saying that he throws 90 miles an hour in actual speed, as in on the radar gun, what can we make that speed look like to a hitter? And every foot pretty much equals out to about 3 miles an hour velocity. So if he can get a foot closer to the hitter, it's like adding 3 miles of velocity, or 2 feet closer than he normally does. It's like adding 6 miles an hour velocity. This all trying to do this without losing any actual velocity, because it would just lose the whole point then. So what we're doing here is kind of extending out where we're at. This towel drill started with a partner, and they're just holding the glove. For this one is an extension drill. We'll be holding the glove down around our waist. And all he's going to be doing is coming through his pitching motion and hitting the glove. And we'll demonstrate that one time for you before we break it down. And you get the snap off at the end of the glove. Trying to get hit in the wrist, it couldn't hurt. So how he accomplished that, we'll work through. He starts out in his pitching stance here out of the stretch. He's equal, he's balanced, he's stable, and he's going to start his delivery. He's going to get out to separation. It's right here. Again, he's back equal and opposite. At this point, he's going to try to give a push and a pop with his hips. And he'll explain that or show you that right now. First, he's going to give a push and a pop. He's a push and a pop, and he's turned. And now he's extended himself towards this. At a later point, we'll do an advanced video on pitching, and he'll explain a little bit more on this. Notice his glove side. It still stayed strong. Hasn't moved yet. Still there. Head still delivers towards his target. Now he's pushed, he's popped, and he's going to extend out, drive off that backside, and pull with his left side or his front side and deliver through. Now he's created a lot of extension. Where he first threw out the whip or threw out the towel, I was nowhere close to being hit. At this point now where I'm standing, I was very easily hit. I was actually a little too close on that one. So again, you can start seeing how he can increase some distance. Go ahead and show it again. How easily he gets out here, push, a pop, and he can deliver through and drive it on through. That's how we start creating perceived velocity on a towel drill. Once you feel kind of comfortable with where you're at now and you feel you can extend it out, we're going to be pushing ourselves. So he easily can get to this point where he stepped out before, which is already a point pushed past where he started from. Go ahead and show how easily he can reach this point. We know he can get here. He's got his hip, his pivot, his turn, his push, and he's hit. Now we want to start trying to push this out. Work the ball in if he needs to, if he's not really getting here enough, or out, which is what we're really trying to work a goal of. So if we'd like to try to add another foot off of this, and can you push out or get a little more extension, a little more drive through, can we add an extra foot to this? And so we'll push the ball out about one more foot, and I'll stand back here and see if he can get to this point a little easier. Again, here a push, a pop, extension, and he's driven through and still hit the hand. So again, our perceived speed added 3 miles an hour of velocity. And that's how you can keep pushing it. Farther and farther you want to go. Can you get 2 feet? Can you get 3 feet? How far out? Big thing to keep in mind is don't lose your actual velocity. Don't start altering or jumping or trying to fake yourself out here. Actually, keep your mechanics, move, push a pop, drive up off your backside, pull with your front side, create whip with the towel, and get that extra foot. Okay, this next drill is a variation of the other towel drill we were just doing, where we were trying to push and create perceived speed. This is a help for building a little resistance, a little consistency in actual speed. So, versus before, we were trying to get extension, our glove was low. This time, we're going at release point, our glove will be high. We'll also be moving that ball in about another foot or two, depending how far out you got. If you stepped off 5 steps the first time, you only step off 4 steps this time. Again, we're at release point versus extension or finish where we were last time. So Carson will demonstrate again where we're at, delivery, high through. That's at his release point, where he'll be letting the ball go at. That's a pretty simple drill. Doesn't take a lot more added into what we're doing. It's just one more time. He comes out, gets to separation, push, pop, drives through, tries to do it a little more fluidly or all at once, comes through, hits the glove high. You want to put it just about right where you'll see his release point at and his arm angle, so kind of find that on your partner. Put the glove up there high for him, and that's where they're hitting. You want this to hit right where they'll be releasing, so that's the peak of their velocity that they want their hand moving at. Down here, they should be slowing down by this point down low. So we're looking for the high release point where the guy's at to be having the maximum velocity of hand speed. That's all this drill is for. It's just high, one more time, deliver through, drive down on the glove with a towel. This next is a variation again of the towel drill. It's called the balance drill. You stay about the same distance out as you were for the high. This time we're going to go back low. It's called the balance drill. Still a towel. He comes out. He's going to hit or pop, push, pop, and hit. Drive through and hit it. And here at this point, he's going to stay up in his release. And he's going to drive down. We're looking for about 5 pops down on the glove. As you get better, you can repeat or continue. Again, the glove stays in the box. Head stays strong. Staying his balance point. And he's just driving down. It's just creating more balance. Figuring out his whip at his balance point. This next drill is another variation of the towel drill. It's just stepping through. All Carson's gonna be doing is starting in his pitching stance. He's gonna step through, walk behind with his right foot to his left foot. So his right foot's gonna come behind his left foot, step in, he's gonna pick up, step through, separate, pop, and deliver. What this is focusing on is trying to keep your head movement going straight towards the plate, focusing on a movement forward without a movement shifting. So we'll do a quick demonstration of this real quick. You kind of see what he's doing. A step through, a pop, and he delivers. Again, all of these drills, as you get more and more advanced, can be extended out. With the balance variations of these drills, we can create a little more difficulty with them by adding in some other variables like a BOSU ball or a balance board or a 4x4 or something like that you'd be doing these drills on. And it creates a little bit more dimensions to this to make it a little more hard, a little more difficult for you. So show that one more time. So step through, pick up, and deliver. This drill can also be done in variation. That was done pretty slow. You can do it with a pop. If you do it with a pop, you're easily gonna gain distance. So we'll have to move another foot or two. As you'll shift through that, walking through, you'll create it with a little bit of a hop or a little bit of action, a little bit of speed to it. And you'll get a lot more forward momentum, which will help them drag it through. Go ahead. So you're able to push himself, create body momentum, shift towards his target. That's what we're working on here. Okay, this is another quick resistance drill utilizing a towel. This is also utilizing a partner. This can be done with bands or, they have exercise bands or ties or bungees, things like that. We like to use a partner. It can create a little bit more consistency in your resistance. And you can, if the guy's a strong guy, without having to add another rubber band or anything like that, you can just tell his partner to add more resistance. The only problem is if he's stronger than you are, then you get pulled over. So, first drill we're going to do is just kind of like a throwing motion drill forward. He's going to grab it in the palm of his hand. It's like making a fist around the ball or the glove or the whatever this is called, a towel. And he's going to be pushing forward. So, you can place a hand on their back to try to create some stability for yourself if you need to as a partner. But go ahead. Push through and pull back. And what we're trying to do here is create consistent pressure. So when he's pulling through, I'm pulling back. And when he's pulling back, I'm creating more pressure again. Like he's trying to come back, I'm pulling him back. He's staying forward. So the pressure stays on the entire time. Pull forward, I pull back. The resistance stays through. That's coming straight forward. Another one you can do now is across the body. To start open, same type of pressure, you're creating constant resistance. So he works through, across. Resistance stays on the entire time. Working inner elbow, tricep, and exterior deltoid here. Go ahead. Next one, exact opposite. Just going from the other side. I'm gonna pull across. Again, the entire time, just create resistance. See, he had to switch up and put it through his fingers. You have to find where it's comfortable for you to hold onto the towel to create the resistance you're looking for. And that's it. It's time to work more on the outer side of the arm. One more, we'll be pulling through, lifting up. Start down on the bottom, we're just going straight up. Here he'll be lifting up and we'll be coming underneath. So he's basically doing a curl with his shoulder. Just keeping constant pressure all the way through. Okay, next one, he'll be coming a little farther back and he'll be pulling down. So press down and come to that bottom point. Towel ain't gonna make. Let's work each one of these about 5 to 10 times until we create that resistance. This is a simple little drills for resistance. Instead of having a rubber band or a bungee or something like that, you get a partner and your towel and you create a little more consistent resistance. This first drill we're going to be doing is the same thing as we were doing before on the flat ground. It's just the towel drill on the mound. We're starting on the rubber. There's no step through or anything. It's just pick up, drive, and deliver. Not a whole lot to it different from what you're doing on flat ground. It's just to build some familiarity with the mound. One more time, Carson. To create more familiarity with the mound, we're going to be doing the towel drill off of the mound. We'll start very basic, just delivering through, no stepping or kicking or anything like that. We're just stepping off the mound, starting on the rubber. That's the step through drill, just off the mound. Show it one more time. Starting right behind the rubber, stepping through onto it, and delivering. This next drill we'll be doing is the same thing as we were before, except we're going to be starting behind the mound, stepping through, coming through, hitting the glove. There's a little skip to this. We'll be stepping off the backside to create more familiarity again with the mound, but also some instability using the mound. Challenges the pitcher again to try to keep his head driving towards home plate, keep his glove side firm. Just adding more instability, utilizing the back side of the mound. Up the back of the mound, down the front of the mound, creates instability. Okay, this drill I'm going to show you now is called the bouncy ball drill. I just call it that because all it is a bouncy ball. It's your common four square ball you find on any elementary school playground. I bought it for $5.99. They're cheap, they're easy, but it's a really great little workout for you. If you don't believe me, try it. You'll feel the burn. Simple, start your throwing motion, get close to a wall, utilize your bouncy ball here. You may need one a little bit smaller if you need to get your hand around something that's easier for you. It doesn't really matter. That's not the point of it. Get to where about your throwing angle is, and all you're going to do is bounce. So get out about 100 bounces in each spot that we're going to be at, and you'll start to feel a real good burn. Your arm will get all tingly, and you'll feel a good blood flow going through there. All I'm doing here is trying to isolate, utilizing the little muscles in my shoulder that are pushing forward, a little bit here in my elbow or at my joint here for my tricep and forearm. So about 100 bounces per position, and you'll feel the burn. Changing dimensions, like we were doing for our curveball earlier, talking about our elbow just breaking straight down. Same thing, just build the muscles around the elbow here, stability muscles, and you're just pushing straight forward. About 100 bounces, I guarantee you feel the burn. Simple as that. Turn sideways to isolate a little bit. Try to keep your chest straight. Same thing, coming off to the side, a little bit of bouncy ball. About 100 bounces, you'll feel it. You can also get quite far out. This is a little more advanced. And you're kind of pulling it across your body here. You'll feel a lot more in your chest. Same bouncy ball drill, just all the way across. It's very difficult to do, even for me who's done this forever. You don't have much leverage here to keep the ball up against. You're working against gravity. So it's quite hard to try to get 100 hops out of it, especially going straight in a row. Another thing you can do is walk the ball along the wall. Hold it up high. Or start up high, start wherever you want. Work the ball across your body, walk it on down with your fingers. Try to keep as much range as you can, keep it away from your body. That makes it hard. Our bodies are weaker when our extremities are far away from ourselves. So, work away, walk it up and walk it down the wall. Do the same thing, walking it tight and into yourself. Not as difficult, but you created a little different range here. You feel a lot in your hands, in your forearms, through your fingers. Quite important muscle groups when you're playing baseball or softball.